In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, it's another hostful news update. This time around, the Cubs tackle some difficult topics. First, we discuss the recent passing of Prince and then move on to two articles regarding the bear community and its issues. Also, we are briefly joined by special guests to offer his recent experience on the latter matter. Grab your bottomless mimosas and wait in the purple rain as COL 363 starts now. It's May 1st, 2016. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon. Everybody
dance now! And that makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indie Sherman Liked, episode 363. And happy May Day! Yay! Be careful for those ding-dong ditches, but look for the basket. You remember that?
Okay.
Did you guys ever do that as a kid? Mayday,
nope.
Where you like left Mayday baskets at somebody's house and you ding dong ditched them. And then the thing was, you're supposed to like completely run away. And there was a thing about if you caught up to him and kissed them, there was a thing. I don't know. It was weird.
Nope.
I successfully kissed a girl that time.
Aww.
She was so embarrassed. Anyways. This is beside the point. Let's go right to this. I was wrong and I'm so happy.
Oh. Wait. Let's just put it on that you were wrong. Let's just
I don't care
what you're wrong for. Let's just
Wow.
I'm wrong with a lot of things. I will admit that. Okay.
Oh,
wait, but these just stop
because it's on the record. That's all.
There's two things that I was wrong about, but I'm happy that I was wrong about. Because you know how a couple weeks ago I talked about the whole thing about Pokemon not being on any legitimate streaming thing.
Yeah.
But I found an alternative.
Uh-huh.
I was wrong. Seasons 10, 11, and 12 are on Hulu.
Oh,
which made watching them so much easier. Except there's this weird pause where like the commercial breaks would be, where it just goes just hard goes to black, and then it pops back in without a commercial. It's weird. I don't know why, but for some reason this is commercialless Pokemon, but they have commercial breaks. It's weird. So that was one thing I was wrong about. Number two, or number one, number two, I found out just last night, and I'm actually pretty excited about this because when I'm at work, I use the, not the latest OS 10, for Macs. But I use a recent version of OS X. One of the things that OS X has nowadays is virtual desktops, where you can create multiple desktops. And you can easily switch between the two so that you don't necessarily have everything on all on one screen. You can go to another screen and see other things. Windows 10 has that too. It's not as it's not as nicely done as OS X. So OS X has it. Down pat, it's easy, it's simple to use, and just absolutely wonderful. Windows 10 does it as well, and it's actually been working really, really well for what I want it to, which means I can essentially have my World of Warcraft game on one desktop, all full screen, and then if I wanted to check onto one of my little tracking sheets that I have for legendaries and artifacts and all that stuff, I can, instead of having to alt-tab out, I just switch over to the other desktop where my Chrome is up. And I can just bounce back and forth. And it's actually, to me, it's a little bit faster switching. My taskbar has all the programming, so I could just actually click on it and it just goes to it. It's kind of cool. So I was wrong for two things, and I'm so excited. It's so great. This is one of those things where I'm happy I'm wrong about it because it's better. It's better after I found out about it. That's why I was wrong. Squee.
Well, awesome.
Damon?
Awesome sauce. This weekend I was pretty much home by alone, which in some ways was good, but some ways not. But for the good things, Jim is doing murder mysteries and in a show, and they're in the last weeks of the show opens next week. So he's been in rehearsals for doing that, and it's been a little crazy and busy. So, and then he's been working on the weekends at Kings Island, because they opened early this year. They actually opened the 16th of this month. So it's been a little busy, but weekends are usually I'm by myself, and normally I would have my friend Ben to hang out with or something like that, but he's actually in Atlanta. He wasn't there for Atlanta Bear Pride, which I think is going on down there. But he was there for, he has friends down there, and he just goes and visits them every once in a while. So anyway, but because of that, it was like, oh, well, I'm by myself. So I did some cleaning around the house. I'm going to probably do some more today. It's been kind of calming just, to just like, oh, I don't really have any major, I don't have to go out and do anything. I went for a walk because it was so beautiful out. So it's been nice, but it was nice to be kind of home alone and not have any pressing things to do. And I didn't have to go out, and next week I'll be out of town. So it's all good. And it was nice to kind of get some things done that needed to get done. So yeah, that's been what's been going on with me. Gary?
I don't know what's going on with me. I have two theories, or two possible options, I guess. Either allergies are taking a different turn with me this season, or I've got what I call ick. And ick is not the flu, and it's not like a sickness. It's just a thing. And it kind of hits you, and it makes you like all funky, and it messes with your head, and you feel out of sorts, and you kind of need to rest more, and it just doesn't kind of go away until it works itself out of your body.
Yeah. Okay.
Not a cold. You just feel icky.
Well, like every morning I wake up, my sinuses are totally a mess. I'm all congested, but I don't have a headache. I don't really have any like face pain, but I can't breathe, and then I need to wait for my sinuses to drain, and then I kind of have to clear things out. And my mom recently was like, you need to get some Mucinex. And I was like, 'cause she needed some. And I was like, I don't know. I was being a petulant child as usual. And I was like, no, I don't need any. But nice. As each day keeps going on, I'm like, really? Like, I get that, we had the run, and I, do what I usually do, which is not much sleep and not good nutrition. So my whole body just basically gets, beat to hell and, pushed to its limits or beyond them. And then it takes me a while to recover. But geez, it's been weeks now, and I'm still just like, I'm very, very annoyed. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things like maybe I need to just get outside and, go for, a couple mile walk, or, sit out on the back patio and get some sun therapy, or I don't know.
Get some of that vitamin D.
Yeah, that's not happening either.
So many different things. But I mean, we're going to leave it with the actual vitamin and not
the sun.
I get it, but
you create vitamin D from exposure, from getting sunlight.
I know that.
Just saying, drink some milk.
Drink some milk.
It's got vitamin D in it, so maybe that will perk you up. I'm just trying to say, well, some vitamin D of another matter might perk you up as well. But that's beside the point. Let's go right into this. Before I get myself into any more trouble, Gary, what's been going over on Facebook?
All right. So over in the Facebook land, Chester, a.k.a. Shudder, commented on two different things, sort of two different things on the same day within a couple of hours, because he's road tripping right now on a big, long like vacation.
Yeah.
Where he's traveling to different events. I think they're all kind of leather related, but I could be wrong. And so on April 21st, he said, "Claw trip starts right meow," which I thought was kind of funny. I have to make several stops before I get to Cleveland on Wednesday. Either way, 14 hours on the road means I get to get caught up on hashtag Cubs Out Loud.
Woohoo!
Yay!
And then a couple hours later, he said again, he posted differently. In parentheses, "I took a short break to play some Prince, but we're back to the shows." And then he kind of directed a comment to me. He said, "Gary, Hadrian did that to me at TBRU. I walked up to say hi, and he said he was about to go get some food, and he invited me to come with. I guess the trick is to approach him when he's looking famished."
And Hadrian is hungry.
I know. Hadrian's always hungry, apparently. That's not fair. He's not here to defend himself. But so for those that don't know, what Chester is referring to is when we had Hadrian on and I threw major shade and spilled all the tea again, because apparently it's an issue I won't let go of. When I met Hadrian at Gay Days at the water park, he and Bailey and a group of his friends were all about – they were literally walking and going to get lunch, and I kind of stopped and talked to him briefly. So what Chester is saying is that the first time he met Hadrian in person, the same thing happened, only his went a different direction. Like, he actually got to eat lunch with Hadrian. I, on the other hand, didn't. And that's probably because, one, Hadrian didn't offer, which is no skin off my back. I'm not mad. And two, I wouldn't interject. Like, I wouldn't presume that I could eat with him because he was already with a group of friends and his partner. So, you know, I said, well, it took me a year to be able to have a chance to sit down to eat with Hadrian. I almost called him Haley. Wow.
That's the couple name.
That's
a couple name. His couple name is Haley.
Yeah. So when I was down the next year, I got the chance to sit and talk with Hadrian and Bailey one-on-one. And actually, we got together. We went out to dinner at a local place, had some good food, went back to their house. And that's when I did the two-part episode show from the living room. So I was totally cool with that because I got way more out of waiting the year than just, you know, talking with him right then and there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well worth it.
So Chester's catching up. He's on a road trip.
He's in Columbus right now hanging out with friends of mine. And then I'm assuming he's probably – I don't know if he – maybe he's staying there for a few days, or maybe he's coming somewhere else, because Cleveland is in Ohio and it's actually maybe a couple of hours from Columbus. So I don't know if he's planning on making any other stops or not, if he is. Well, he probably won't hear this episode until after he's gone. Anyway, enjoy your trip. I'm like realizing, wait, this episode.
Or we can say this. We hope you enjoyed your trip.
Exactly.
He's still on it, we're going to say say it in the past because he's going to hear it in the future. It's all timey-wimey.
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 Yep.
Yeah, let's go right into – do we have the thing? We do
have a thing.
Let's go into the thing. We're going to go into this. It's Urban Dictionary with Gary.
Okay, so today's word has to do with the fact that this particular episode, as a Hostful News update, is drawing a question to the fact that we are a community, quote unquote, because there's kind of been some shit going on. We'll get to that later. But because of that, the phrase or the word that I chose this time for Urban Dictionary is dramatitis.
Okay.
And it sounds very appropriate for the gay community at large.
Yeah. Well. So the definition is a harmful disease in which the world is suffering from. It's when you have too much drama in your life and are always starting it and always in it.
Wow.
And then the example is, wow, she is really suffering from dramatitis.
I thought that's just called being gay.
No.
No. I think we are like magnets as a community and draw it to us more than other communities maybe, but.
Yeah. That's one way to put it.
So, yeah. So now you got a new word. You can stick it in your conversation anytime you want.
Dramatitis. Full of dramatitis. Mm-hmm. Stricken with dramatitis.
Girl, she'd be stricken with dramatitis.
Exactly.
Okay, I like that example better.
That's a better way to put it. Okay.
All right.
Dramatitis. Now yep. That's a word.
And guess what, folks? It's that time again.
News on the mark.
It's another Hostile News update. And we start with something that happened very recently to when we record the show, which has broken my heart. And it's all because of my sister and partly my brother, but mostly my sister. We did a little thing on Facebook, or my sister did a little profile analysis on Facebook and found out that she was Diamonds and Pearls. I did mine. I was Diamonds and Pearls too. And we were both the same. My brother, you got the look.
Aww.
And now he thinks he's the pretty one. But I tell you this, we got Diamonds and Pearls, so we're the better looking ones.
Wow.
Anyways, why all of this about Diamonds and Pearls and you've got the look, Gary?
Yes.
I'm tossing it to you. What happened?
Okay. For those of you that are not aware, which I think would be impossible to not know, the artist icon Prince passed away unexpectedly at the age of 57. At the time of our recording, there has not been a release of the autopsy that was done. There's a ton of speculation in different circles about if he was sick, if he had a disease. He was, I believe, and this is completely not pulling up accurate info, I believe when he was a child, he had epilepsy.
Mm.
And when he was an adult, he did develop a hip condition that was supposed to be related to all the jumping that he did as an artist on stage, like off of speakers onto stages and stuff. And so but no one's really sure exactly what happened. He had some health stuff recently. He had to cancel a couple shows and then turned around, performed for a couple of the ones that were canceled, but then didn't the others, and then very quickly, unexpectedly, passed away.
Yeah.
So the gay male community's been affected, kind of like when Bowie passed away, and other artists, in that I've been reading some interesting stuff online, and I think it makes sense when I will say my generation, those that came up in the 70s and 80s, grew up and turned, you know, into teenagers and young adults. The landscape was so different. We didn't have this. We didn't have podcasts. We didn't have internet. We didn't have any of this type of stuff to reach out and connect with other communities or people. And so music was one way that we connected, and an artist was how we processed who we were and our emotions. So you would listen to vinyl albums and 8-tracks and cassette tapes and then eventually CDs, and you would just listen to them over and over and over again, and you would ingrain them into your soul as to how you feel about yourself and how you feel about the world. And some artists you would make an absolute connection with, and maybe not others. And now the interesting thing I read yesterday was that we're on the crashing edge of that generation starting to age out. And that's why we're struggling when our quote-unquote artists are passing away, because they're of our generation, not of another generation. So for example, you know, when Doris Day passes away, people in their 50s, 40s, and 30s, and 20s are not affected the same way as people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, because that artist is of a generation that matches not so much for younger individuals. So and Prince was an absolutely astounding, amazing individual who broke so many molds and was incredibly talented in many, many, many ways. And I just I'm not affected in ways that some of my friends are because I wasn't I don't want to say I wasn't a fan. I can appreciate his artistry, loved his music. But I, you know, when I read it, I was sad. I was like, man, that's a real bummer. And other people are much more severely affected. And I don't take any umbrage with that. My feeling on it is everybody handles things in their own way, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. For me, it was saddening. And I posted something on Facebook and posted a few things after that. And it became he was like I mentioned in my post, he was some of the part of the music that I listened to growing up. You know, it was that, you know, he was different and unique. And for I've known a lot of other people have mentioned, you know, in his earlier stuff, he was very sexual, you know, without being like not necessarily controversial, but, you know, sexual without being overtly like dick out kind of, you know, kind of controversial. He was, and that was part of their awakening as it were, or, you know, how they, you know, you mentioned the connections with people. There was a lot of things posted once he passed, a lot of pictures of places that went purple, of here, we have a Cincinnati, our Duke Energy Center has a, like outside of it has the word Cincinnati and it can change colors depending on the time of the season. And they've made it purple. There's a hotel in Covington, the Radisson, that is a very tall building and has lights on it that change different colors depending on, the weather. Sometimes it's depending on the weather. Sometimes it's, you know, for stuff like this where they also went purple. In Minneapolis, where he's from, there was a lot of, you know, memorials and mementos and very much a purple thing. Even Google went purple with a rain kind of thing. And it hit me right in the feels when I felt that one. Saw that one because it was just like, that's just, it's a tribute to the artistry that he provided for us. And it just, you know, it made sense. It was just one of those little things that everyone can do. I know I shared a post about from Kevin Smith, about how what Prince meant to him and how sad he was and how he went to Paisley Park and, you know, had a, you know, interviewed with him and was able to, you know, see some things and experience a side that most people don't get to experience. So I'm sad in that he's gone, but at the same time, I feel that there will be some legacy that will move on. There will be some music that will come out, I'm sure. He, as Kevin mentioned, there's recordings all over the place in his home that have never seen, you know, seen the light of day. So there's a possibility that something could be brought out and which would be amazing to hear some stuff that maybe he not necessarily didn't want to have, you know, but just, you know, something that he recorded maybe for himself or for a few others that would have been, it would be nice to hear. So, yeah.
Miss you, Prince.
Yeah.
When I found out about it, I'm like, I'm at work, so I have access to iTunes. So I just pulled up my iTunes and went into my Prince playlist and hit random. And just started to random Prince and like stop. And I went back to individual albums and just listened to the albums straight through. One of the things I really like is the albums. His albums are great because they just kind of there's a good order to them. One of the things I like about some artists is just them being able to create an album where there's kind of this structure to it, and which is part of the kind of the composition of an album. And he did a really, really good job of them on every single one that he did. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And I'm very intrigued by, you know, all this discussion that's been going on about the rumor / expectation that he has a whole unknown volume of stuff that hasn't been released, that he just was constantly producing and making things. And there's supposedly, at my point, I call it an urban legend until it's proven true, that there's a vault and it's full of potentially hundreds or thousands of pieces of work that haven't been, you know, made public yet. So I'll be interested to see that. I also found it difficult to be a person who wanted to reacquaint and listen to his stuff, and you can't easily. He made a point in the past handful of years, due to the change in technology and digital rights and stuff, to really like eliminate his presence online that wasn't authorized. So there isn't hardly any videos on YouTube unless they're owned by another entity. So like his NFL halftime show is technically owned by the NFL. So you have the ability to watch that, you know, when it was pouring rain, you know, back in, what was it, 2007, 2008, I think.
Spoil things.
So, okay. So I find it interesting. And then if I recall correctly, he kind of created his own digital streaming technology, or joined up with someone. And it's very interesting. Like, you know, when something happens and the artist passes, you know, typically there's an outpouring of emotion and a high amount of interest in that individual. And I think I read on the day that he passed away, 19 of the top 20 iTunes albums were all his.
Yeah. And when it was like, I was on Pandora when it happened, and I could not get to actual Prince music. I got influenced by Prince, or, you know, has similar, you know, as they do in Pandora, but never, I could not actually get, Prince music. It made me a little sad, but the radio station here in town over the weekend, this weekend, has actually been posting our playing music randomly through their time in tribute. So it's been nice listening to some of the few things that they play.
See, this is the one of the reasons why I love my sister and partially my brother, but it was more my sister's influence, because she was a huge Prince fan in the 80s. And because she was my older sister, I was exposed to the music she listened to, which is the reason why I was a New Kids on the Block fan as well. And I just had become a Prince fan. I just wanted to listen to all of my sister's albums, which I really shouldn't have been at that time because, well, you know, Prince and like his Symbol album. The album, which was just his, what became his name, Love Symbol, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
That album.
Love Symbol.
Which I have in my iTunes as the symbol on its side, because you can kind of create it using, like, characters. That one's definitely not one to really listen to, especially since, like, you sexy motherfucker. And stuff, but which is one of my favorite albums. That, Diamonds and Pearl, and The Gold Experience is a freaking amazing album. I think those are my top three. Like Rave Unto the Joy, fantastic, because there's a song which he does with Sheryl Crow on there, and there's one which he does with Gwen Stefani on there, which were both amazing too. So I'm quite around there. And I even got the, in 1999, he actually re-released 1999 in a single called 1999, the New Master. And he created a new version, which he probably has like tens of thousands of versions of all of his songs. Like from my understanding, he never does, whenever he performs a song, he never does it the same. Like, you know, it's a song, it sounds like the song, but if you played one version from one time to like just a couple days later, even, they'd be different. There's just something different about him, because he was just that flexible, that proficient. I even saw a video where he was on the Muppets.
Oh, gosh.
They were like, I can write a song from anything. It says, well, what's on the breakfast menu? And it's just this obscure thing about breakfast, and he makes a song on it.
Yeah.
And then he says, what's on the dessert menu? Raspberry sorbet.
I saw that one.
Zing.
I'm very sad that Prince is gone. He's put out so much stuff, and there's probably, I wouldn't be surprised if like gradually the estate starts releasing some of his unreleased stuff. Just to kind of like carry on for a few years at least. And it would just be amazing to hear it all. Just to see what he has. There's some things I don't like of him, but he has so many gems that who cares?
Yeah. There was I know that I've seen several people mention a few things here and there about how, you know, he kind of was a little homophobic after, you know, essentially at some point he, you know, found religion, and which is why a lot of his music ended up not being as sexual as it once was. And part of that became, you know, he wasn't really a big fan of, you know, the gays, as it were. But I know one of my friends actually mentioned he didn't care. He was an iconic, you know, music fish. You know, it was more because of his religion, not necessarily him, that was the reasons for his, you know, change in thought, or maybe not necessarily change in thought, but his potential behavior. And I'm agreeing with that, and that it's sad that someone who for a lot of us was a musical, you know, connection and influence to that life and time of being a, I'll say, sensitive boy and whatnot, are not quite as the boy, you know, man's man that you should have been. And you had him, and you had like David Bowie, who were challenging that, you know, that you don't need to be, you know, you don't need to wear flannel and, you know, wear beer and beat women to be a man. You could wear heels and ruffle shirts and purple and still be this amazing, amazing person. So, yeah, he will be missed.
I think that he personified what sometimes people find difficult, which is the difference between the person as an artist and the person who they are, quote unquote. I think we blur the line and we think how a person represents themselves is who they truly are. And I'm like, no, that's not necessarily true. You know, I agree with the RuPaul saying that, you know, we're all born naked and the rest is drag. Like, you have an option to present yourself to the world how you want. And as an artist or an entertainer, you can completely, you know, put yourself out there in one aspect, but have a very different kind of personal, you know, bias about certain things. Like, I know sometimes I find out about someone in the entertainment industry and I find out that they're incredibly, you know, conservative in their political viewpoints. And it, you know, kind of makes you pause for a moment. You're like, oh, that's interesting, because I really like all this other stuff that you do, but this one aspect of you I may not necessarily connect with. And I think people felt that way about Prince, was to find out that as much as he was sexual in the early years and revolutionizing and, you know, incredibly talented, people might find it a little difficult to maybe swallow the news, which is questionably accurate about his, you know, dealing with the LGBT community. I think he was a humanist more than anything. Mm-hmm. And at certain times, perhaps his spirituality was a dividing line, but I don't know if that's important enough, given, as I've been finding out in the past couple of days since his passed away, all the charity type work he was doing, and the things that, like, apparently at nearly every city, whenever he did a concert, there was other stuff that was going on behind the scenes. So I think he really tried super hard to be a good person all around. And I just think it goes back to, there's no such thing as perfect. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
You do what you can.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That means we've got moving on to a different topic. Gary?
So for the Hostful News update, this particular one is focusing on not necessarily enjoyable discussion type stuff. there's been a couple of things going on in the community, in the bear community, for years, let alone the past couple months or weeks. And I referred in an earlier episode to not discussing it on air and talking to you guys kind of off air about it. And one of them, which I still don't think we've fully decided what we want to do about, is this broiling issue that's going on about an event that's taking place in Florida and how the person that's in charge of it has really kind of made a huge splash in the gay community as an organizer and gotten themselves into a lot of spotlight. And weirdly, said individual and event had a mashup with Mr. Ray Smith, our Mr. North American Bear 2016, just in the past 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I reached out to Ray and was like, hey, we're doing a show and we're kind of talking about some news topics. And one of them you might be able to sort of shine a little bit of light on. I think in reaching out to him and having a discussion with him, we definitely want to say that this is his personal interaction and his experience. And because it's not hearsay and it's not third party, I think we can take it for what he says authentically. And if anyone, you know, kind of feels differently, that's fine. But I was like, wow, that's unexpected and interesting.
Well, let's get him on the line.
Okay.
And joining us right now for our next topic is Mr. NAB himself, Ray Smith. Ray, welcome back to the show. Ray?
Ray?
Yeah.
Hey,
guys. Hey!
It's the mimosas, I suppose.
Yes, it is. Lovely, lovely mimosas.
Hey, all right.
So, well, we're adding to this because we've got a really kind of controversial topics for the next part of our show. But can you explain what has happened with you just recently with Beach Bear Weekend?
Wow, you're going right for it.
We're in the middle of the show. Come on.
So... That's true. So it was really weird because, like, I read the stories and stuff about Beach Bear Weekend and everything like that. And I'm on the social medias on Growler and at the Atlanta Bear Pride. And, you know, there's this attract, like this Middle Eastern muscled guy. And I was like, oh, cool. He looks cute. So I was like, hey. And I get a message saying, hey, here's a free run pass to Beach Bear Weekend. And initially, I was like, wanted to just say, wait a minute, isn't this the one where the guy is being, like, investigated for a lot of bad stuff? But I didn't. Yeah. I was like, oh. And so right after that, I went out to a bear barbecue for a charity called Ready for Hope, which does a lot of HIV awareness here in Atlanta. And I was talking to a DJ, Sean Mack, about potentially dancing and, like, hanging out at the Jungle for an event that was last night. So I talked to Sean, and then I ran into Craig, who I never actually met. Craig, Craig is also the guy over Beach Bear Weekend. Never really met him, never saw him. But I just chatted with him, very cordial. And then I went back to my hotel room after the barbecue and received a message from the muscled Middle Eastern dude. Who pretty much said that I'm banished because I was talking to Sean Mack, who he felt was a loser. And
wait, what?
That because of that, so he felt like Sean Mack was a loser, and because I was talking to him, that I am banished. Which my response was, it's pretty petty that you would banish someone from an event or just be rude to someone because they were socializing with another individual. And then I called him out on having a fake profile. So apparently Craig was using this fake profile while he was here in the city. So it was a pretty interesting event. The other thing, though, is that, I read the stories on it, and, you know, wasn't even really interested in anything I was actually kind of wanting to go to anyways, just because I've read the stories. And the fact that he's banished the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which, if you don't know them, it's a bunch of people that dress up as nuns and help, you know, promote, like, here in Louisville, anyways, they do a lot of, like, HIV education and
yeah.
support. So it's really cool what they do. And to banish a group of people like that, that already sets wrong with me. So it was one of those things that it was like when he said I was like banished and stuff, my thought was, okay. And just because it's kind of like the analogy I think of, like if I'm getting banished from a Dunkin' Donuts, my first response is, it's cool. I'm a Krispy Kreme fan anyways. So, like, it's not – I mean, like I was cool that he gave me – that he offered me a free run pass. The fact that he took it away for socializing with someone was pretty childish, I thought, in my opinion. God. And, yeah, and to be honest with you, I mean, like, we live in a community right now where even just as gay men, you know, as just in the gay community, we yell and scream and, like, we hope that we get treated with, like, respect and equality from, like, the outside world. But we do stuff like this to our own people in our own community. And, like it just sits wrong with me that how can we, like, ask for respect and equality from the outside world when we're doing childish stuff and not treating each other with respect and equality to people in our own community. So
to demands.
So, I mean, needless to say, I mean, it was very awkward. It was probably like a 30 minute interaction. I'm not really heard about it. And it's actually during the weekend, which I'll actually be at Chill Bar in Louisville, modeling off underwear for Adam, who of course owns menswear. So
yeah,
I've already kind of had something planned anyway. So, but it was a very fun conversation.
I'm sure.
Betch. I wasn't planning to come anyways.
Yeah, pretty much is what it is. My God. Okay. So, several things. Fuck that guy. Cause this plain and simple, like, because you talked with someone, you're now not allowed to come to an event. Like, petty is being nice. Petty is being nice to that. That's just downright fucking ignorant and stupid. And anyway, so, and then the fact that he's using another. So basically what you're saying is the Middle Eastern growler profile that you were talking to was actually Craig.
Right.
Okay. So that's some shit right there. Some shady, low down bullshit right there. Like, oh, I'm going to talk to you under basically catfish you for the sake of talking. Probably because he's not welcome in Atlanta for obvious reasons. And then I'm going to then say to you who I. Reveal who I am without revealing who I am. Like, here's a run pass. Come to my event, or come to an event that I'm planning on going to, but I'm actually the owner of, and then give you a – then revoke it on the fact that you're being a respectable person and title holder and reaching out to other people and talking to them about, you know, yourself and maybe wanting to get involved with these other events and shit. Yeah, yeah. Fuck that noise.
And for any case, when you are running an event, don't you want as many people as you can to come? Because the idea is to get it popular, which could make either more money or just, you know, people find people that they're interested in. Not just, you know, you're not going to be interested in everybody in an event. And just because you don't talk, because you don't like one person doesn't mean you have to interact with them at the event or anything. So it's, I don't see the point of, you know, sending people off unless they're someone who's causing a lot of trouble actually at the event or something.
Yeah.
That I can understand, but
right.
if this isn't even at the event, then sure, they may have talked to one guy you don't like, but who says you have to interact with that guy who you like and somebody else can? I mean, it's just it's just kind of hypocritical for someone who's running an event to just banish somebody just for talking to somebody who may not be at the event at all anyways. So
yeah,
yeah, exactly.
So, Ray, to catch everybody up outside of this little incident that we wanted to talk to you about, you are currently in Atlanta, right, for Atlanta Bear Pride, I think, is the event?
That is correct. I'm here in Atlanta for Atlanta Bear Pride. It's been pretty awesome.
I've always wanted to go. I've heard good things about it, so.
Well, it's definitely a different pace. Like, so 2 weeks ago, I was in Erie, Pennsylvania for Drenched Fur that Gary was at. And, like, that was really cool as far as it was very social. Like, it was all kind of there at the host hotel. And they did really cool activities and workshops. Here, it's more of a social dance party. Everything's at night except for the barbecue that they had yesterday. So it's completely different event, but still really cool. So it's fun.
Yay. And then just as a personal clarification or update kind of thing, something happened with your car last night?
Yeah. So I was leaving the Eagle because a buddy of mine was driving my car with me, and we were going to the Eagle, and apparently on this corner of a sidewalk where they have like the drains and water kind of flows through, the top part, the metal part, was busted and was sticking out some more than the actual sidewalk. So when we turned the sidewalk, we hit the corner of that drain and busted a hole in the side of the tire. Ouch. So yeah, so that was around midnight. And then after that, we waited for the tow truck for about two and a half hours and got back to the hotel finally around 3:30 in the morning. I was just sharing with Gary. We were supposed to leave today to come back to Louisville, but all the places that we've called are either closed, the warehouses are closed, and they can't get a tire until tomorrow. So the cool thing is that, because of this, we're going to be in Atlanta for another night, and we get to go to the closing dance party at the Eagle tonight. So,
oh, cool.
So there's something good about it. And I got bottomless mimosas for $11. So
best part.
There is some good.
Yes.
That's what I love about you, Ray. You were like, I'm going to make the best of a semi-cruddy, unexpected situation. You're like, so I get to stay for another day. I'm going to drink cheap and I'm going to go party. So, yeah.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I put it on Facebook. I also, for the first time in my life, got to see an actual prostitute working the corner in like a really like nice, sophisticated neighborhood. Like the fire hydrants are silver.
Oh,
in
my.
This area. Yeah. Like
prostitute pros.
So nice. Like I felt very like, oh, these people must pay a lot for mortgage. I was like, oh, well, that's a lady of the night. So it was pretty. Last night, although it was that part was very hectic and very stressful to deal with, lots of things has happened, and it honestly has made my trip even more enjoyable. So,
yay. You have memories. You have things that you will always remember about that trip. That's one of the things I love about going places that I haven't been before, is creating those memorable moments that you will remember for years to come, or, you know, depending on how much alcohol you drink, maybe not.
My $11 mimosas.
Like $11 mimosas. Bottomless mimosas. All right.
So, Ray, since we did the interview with you after winning your title in Kentucky, I believe you've been to two or three different bear events outside of your local club. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've done a few. I've been to a couple fundraising events also. So one weekend, shortly after the interview, I went to at this lesbian bar called Persuasions. They were doing a drag benefit show for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Then literally the next day, I was in Cincinnati with Damon for an event with Scorpius, the leather. Which was fantastic. I went to, of course, your event, Gary, in Drenchford up in Erie. I did a couple bearded beauty shows, like so being in drag but with a full beard. I did an event for Furball in Lexington, which was to raise money for a no-kill animal shelter. I also did a bearded beauties drag show at Play Dance Bar in Louisville for the Kentuckiana Pride Festival. And yeah, I'm currently now in Atlanta, and next week I'll actually be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Oh
man, you're getting around.
Well, yes. that's kind of why I wanted to talk to Ray a little bit and focus on where you've been and where you're going. So Myrtle Beach is coming up, and then you got anything else you know on the docket in the next month or so?
Oh yeah, so May is going to be kind of packed too. So May I'll be doing some stuff at Chill Bar for Derby. Then the second weekend of May, I'll be in Lexington, Kentucky for a harness best chess kind of dance party with the Kentucky Bourbon Bears.
Nice.
Then the third week of May, I will be in D.C. at the Eagle for – they're doing a pup event, and I think it's also a send-off for one of the contestants of IML. And then the last weekend of May, I'll be in Chicago for IML and Chicago Bear Pride.
Sweet.
Okay, I have to say this. I am now officially dubbing you, Ray, as Mr. COL as well.
So you've got. Aww.
This is not the pedestal. This is not the pedestal. This is completely separate. But Ray is now Mr. COL 2016.
Aww.
Why can I do that? Because I'm the producer.
Congratulations.
Now I gotta add in another little thing with it, anyways.
Oh, that's fine.
Gotta figure out, like, I don't know, Jeff. Since you're doing this on the fly, does he get a patch, a vest, a sash, a scepter, a crown, a jockstrap?
I don't really have anything physical to give them besides being able to put them on the website. We'll have to figure something out, Gary.
Oh, I'm sure you could give him something. You just have
to... He would come to Austin and probably get a good cocksuck and a good rib job.
Well,
I mean, I hear Orbit's got some sales right now, so I could probably fly.
Damn!
Gary, we may... Gary, we may actually have to think up of something that we can get him.
Sweet.
He can pimp us out. Anyways.
Nice.
Mr. NAB is also Mr. COL.
Sweet. By the end of 2016, he'll have like 50 titles. Everyone will be giving him a title.
Yep. I hear I'm actually in the running for Mr. White Castle 2016 also, so.
Oh, my.
I'm pretty excited for that one.
I don't know. Are you? Because I don't know if I would be.
That's all good. They've got the cheese sliders now that are apparently good.
No, just, I can't.
You can't. It's okay. Okay. Right.
I think it's time to let Ray get back to his $11 bottomless mimosas and have a gay old time there in Atlanta. Thank you for joining us, Ray.
Oh, no problem, guys. Thank you for having me.
So we go from talking about an event that has a lot of focus on it that is not necessarily positive at this time, to sort of an old topic. I have an article from 2013. It's almost 3 years old, but I don't think it's unrelevant. I think it's even more relevant today. Mm-hmm. We've talked a little bit about how there's an individual who's really kind of made this their mission to point out that there's this thing going on about there's a discussion that the bear community is not necessarily open to everybody, and specifically that there's an idea that the bear community is racist. Mm. And I, you know, it's one of those things that I was like, do we discuss it? Do we not discuss it? And I was like, you know what? The whole point of this podcast is to discuss things that are relevant to us as hosts, but also the community. And I think this is a really important point. Mm-hmm. And granted, this, you know, article from the ManhattanDigest.com is from May of 2013. We're coming up on May of 2016. But I'm like, you know what? I don't think this has gone away, and I don't know if it's really changed in the landscape. I will say this just for my personal statement is, years ago in putting on my event, someone had made a comment in regards to that it was not chaser friendly, I think is the way they phrased it. And I really got hit in the gut with that, because mm-hmm. the event was never coordinated, managed, built, organized, any word you want to use. We weren't trying to restrict any individuals, but when you don't know that many people and you're not familiar with that, you know, area of the community, it can be difficult to engage and get them involved. And since then, I'm proud of the fact that we've become more and more encompassing of the spectrum of the gay male community. So there are very large guys, there are skinny guys, there are men of color, there are, older uh-huh. individuals and younger individuals. But I think that's a little bit of conscious work to make sure that you don't look a certain way. And this article, you know, kind of talks about the fact that men of color are not necessarily accepted in the bear community. And that really bothers me. Not that mm-hmm. I have a right to say anything as a Caucasian.
Yeah, and just to quickly reference French Fur, you guys just open up registration. Whoever registers. So it's not like you're doing anything. If something happens, it's either more non-chasers ended up, most of the people that ended up registering in time to fill up were not chasers or something. So, you know, chasers, you just need to make sure that you're on the ball when it comes to Drake for get ready. Well, when the tickets go on sale, you jump right in there.
All right. Yummy, okay. Yummy, I get what you're saying, jump
bears. So
here's the reality is you are correct in a universal way to say, listen, it's a first come, first serve basis. Whoever gets to the event gets to the event. And that's true no matter what the event is. On the other side of it, though, we've talked kind of about this before, about cliques and those type of things. Like, you are your circle of friends and who you know. And so if I happen to be hanging out with mostly 40-year-old white men, then guess what? That's what gets reflected. And can I be, you know, can I be held accountable to that? Absolutely. That I'm not perhaps, you know, engaging with other individuals. On the flip side of it, you can't label me a racist unless I do something that meets the definition.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Agreed.
So I don't know. I don't mean to throw you into the spotlight, but Damon, I really wanted to know your perspective on it, you know?
Since you are the token black guy here.
Black
guy thing.
But anyway, no. It's okay. It's one of those things where I won't call it a hot button issue, but this is a button issue for me mm-hmm. in a lot of ways for obvious reasons. Being a bear cub of color and being in a community that is, to put it simply, it's not predominant of a specific, you know, of people of color or bears of color, it can be a little harder to relate. Mm-hmm. It's almost events I go to, things I've done, you know, it is it in my mind? Like, yeah, like 90% of the time, dealing with people, interacting with people, I'm usually, that's part of what's in my head is, you know, some of the things that are mentioned in this, you know, article, about how, you know, there's pretty much a lot of online lingo and stuff like that. Or I'm only into where we're kind of being fetishized. Shit, I can't talk right now. Fetishized. Anyway, so those kind of things, those are things that happen. They're part of it. I was just on Growler this morning and some guy in England messaged me and it became very obvious that the only reason he messaged me was because I was black and he wanted black dick. And I was like, okay, well, that's nice. He ended up saying a really bad word and I ended up blocking him because of that word. Yeah.
So, well, that brings up an interesting point. I don't mean to interrupt and derail you, but yeah. So I don't think it's racist to say that you have a preference.
Well, that's
true.
That's true and not true.
Okay.
And the only reason I'm going to put it like this, where to me, I'll overgeneralize for the sake of overgeneralizing. When you say something to the effect of, I don't like such and such, or this person meant, or you specifically mention color, if you've not met all the men, it's going to be a little bit hard for you, for me to say, okay, well, that's just a preference. Because I have met many men of different types that I originally thought I would not be into. And then I stopped saying met one of them and changed my mind. It's more along the lines of I've opened my mind to interacting with that person and getting to know someone and going, wow, you're a really nice person. And then that's where I base my interest on, is the person. Physical attraction is one thing. And there are rules and laws for attraction that are very hard and very gray to put down on paper, as it were.
Sure.
You can't say, I'm going to be interested in all of these people just because of that. You know, there are certain, like, it's going to depend on the person to me. If I run into someone at a bar event or at a bear run or whatnot, we all do it at face value. We look at someone and we go, oh, well, they're hot. You know, that's what I like. Well, we've all also encountered that person that we were really thought was really interesting and really fucking hot. And then we've kind of let them talk or seen them interact with other people and kind of, you know, it turned our head.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually something I like. I like people. I wouldn't want someone to not interact with me based solely on the fact that they may or may not be attracted to the color of my skin or what I look like. If we're just being friendly, that's cool. But in the next article kind of gets into this a little bit more, but a lot of ways it's about sexual attractiveness. I want to be around people I'm sexually attracted to.
Right.
So, and I tend to be more around bears.
Which I think one thing that you have to put into consideration, sometimes, yes, sexual attraction can sometimes be about color. Now, I'm not one for color. As I've said before, I like chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. I'm a Neapolitan sort of guy. You know, I like them all. Like, and one thing I really hate about, and I'm not sure if it was this article or if it's the next article, but somebody said something about the racist comment of as chocolate as being racist. I don't consider that racist because chocolate sounds like a flavor that is yummy. So that's like, ooh, a chocolate bear.
Something,
you know?
Wow.
But that's just me.
It's not really, racist. It's not. It's just like he. I think it's more along the lines of, like I was saying, fetish. If I can say it,
fetishizing.
Yes, fetishizing. Yes, the person, and that fetishizing is ultimately making them kind of an object as opposed to a thing. Well, 'cause a fetish is
most of the time when it comes to that point, it's because of sexual attraction, which, and I think we've had this discussion before, mm-hmm. but there's a difference between a fetish and a kink. A fetish is something you need to have in order to get off, while a kink is more of something that more enhances the experience, you know, something you don't need, but is definitely something that helps. So fetishizing, I think, is kind of the wrong terminology in these cases, unless it's something that's like, I will only have sex with black men, or I'll only have sex with white men. I will only have sex with Asians. All the other colors just turn me off. You know what? That's about sex. And I think the big thing here is we need to say, what's the difference between what's actually racist and what is actually more of just, I'm not sexually attracted. We really need to focus more on racism in the community, which is different than being about sexual attractiveness. Now, part of it can be affected by that, because you could be like, oh, he's black. I'm not attracted to black men, so I'm just not going to socialize with them. That's called bullshit. Now, that I would say is racist. There could be somebody who just goes around saying, you know what, I prefer having sex with white men, but this black guy is great. He's a nice person, someone to hang out. And you know what? Both of us can hang out and look at the eye candy. Will I ever have sex with him? Will I ever kiss him? Maybe I'll give him a hug because of a friendship. But it's there. You really need to kind of focus on what the difference between attractiveness and racism is, because racism is more of a communal thing versus an attractive thing, because it's just some people are just not attracted to one color or another. It's just it is about appearance when it comes to that, and what you want for getting off. And that's not racist. That's just taste, appeal. You know, I hate fish, and I'm talking about actual fish, like the actual things that swim in the sea. I just do not like fish. Okay, I'll have some tuna occasionally. That's another matter altogether. But does that make me fishist? No, it just means it's not the flavor that I enjoy.
All right, so here's what I think you're saying, Jeff, and I don't disagree with this point, which is there's a difference between having a preference and then making your preference known and it being hurtful. Mm-hmm. Or that's when I think it's racist. And we just discussed this, Damon, recently on the RuPaul's Drag Race Tea Time recap, because they did political ads and Kim Chi, who is Korean, makes a point that on a lot of social media sites, especially hookup apps, guys say no fats, no femmes, no Asians, which Kim Chi says, I represent all three. So I'm like, screw you, excluding me. And I think, you know, there's a discussion about it. And actually, there's an extra clip on YouTube online that I just saw last night where Michelle Visage, as one of the judges, doesn't know about this, but Carson Kressley does. And so she's getting educated by Carson and by Kim Chi about how this exists. And she's like, that's just rude. Like, it's really comical to see how she's like really kind of puzzled and flabbergasted that gay men would write that in their profile. And she's like, well, it's racist. Like, she just calls it out. She's like, say that you don't like Asians, you don't like blacks, you don't like Latinos, you don't, you know, whatever, is being racist. And I think that's when I think the line of difference comes about. Like, I think you can be a Caucasian WASP, whatever you want to call it, you know. What I'm just saying, like, if we're going to throw all these words out there, let's use them all, you know. It's like, don't hold back. So let's say that you're a gay white male or bi, whatever, and you don't care for men of color. If you don't write anything in your profile, then you don't come under the magnifying glass of people saying or giving you a label because you don't make a point about it. But when you write those words, now you've turned a page, so to speak.
Yeah. For a lot of things, one of the things I want to say in regards to this is get to know the person. Let someone talk to you. If you don't like them, that's fine. Don't like them. But when you automatically clear cut say no fats, no femmes, no Asians, no black guys, no, you know, whatever. When you kind of say that point blank, it's I understand why you're saying it. But you essentially cut someone out automatically without any interaction, provocation, whatever. You know, if that's what you're not into, that's fine. If someone happens to look at your profile or talks to you, you know, be cordial, be friendly, you know, at least say, you know, thank you. Like, you know, if I compliment you and you're not into me, that's fine. I get that you're not into me, but when I look at your profile and you say like no blacks or no femmes or no, you know, I only want hairy guys or I only want this, that, and the other, you're cutting people out.
Well, let me back you up there. Okay. When we're talking about some of these profiles, the profiles are a lot about, these are the people who I'm attracted to. These are the people who I want to have a relationship with, that I'm attracted to. This is the people I want to have sex with. I'm not going to have. Now, one thing I agree on is what you need to do in these profiles is say, what do you like? Because because that doesn't necessarily exclude anybody. It just says, this is what I'm interested in. What I think the problem is the straight out, instead of these are what I like, everybody's saying these are what I don't like. And for all intents and purposes, there could be plenty of people out there which have that being like, hey, I'm here for sex. I don't want I don't want a twink. I don't want I'm going to actually throw some things that are not necessarily that would be in my profile. I don't want a twink. I don't want an Asian. I don't want anyone younger than 23.
Yeah.
You know, these are the people I don't want. Instead of that, I could say I prefer the big bears. I prefer big hairy bears. Those are the people who I prefer. It's not necessarily excluding them because it's not giving that negative context the way I'm saying it, but I'm saying this is what I want. So if a twink looks at my profile, they may say, and this is how somebody really should act to be somebody considered non-racist, is like, if let's say a twink messages me saying, hey, you're hot, I'm going to say thanks, right? Yeah. That's where it really should be for keeping that more inclusive nature, is saying, hey, I don't have a problem with you or anything. I'm not necessarily attracted to you, but thanks. I appreciate the compliment, which is like, you know, a gay guy saying that a straight guy is hot. I may not go out with you. I may not have sex with you. I may not do any of that, but hey, you're hot. Positive things, and keeping that positive side of things instead of all this negative stuff. In this case, the guy who says no fats, femmes, or Asians is like, I'm not really attracted to those sort of things. So I would probably be turned off if you were any of these. So I don't really want to have sex with you if you have any of these. So don't even bother messaging me. So that's being exclusive. But I wouldn't necessarily... Well, it's kind of an up the air sort of thing.
It's really hard to be to disengage these things, particularly attractiveness and you know prejudice. Essentially, to me, that's one of the words I used to use, was you're not racist, you're prejudiced. Because you're making a prejudgment based on something.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily attractiveness, but you're making your prejudgment based on something. And that's usually what I would go to default to. I don't so much anymore. But one of the things that if someone says something to that effect, that's where I go to. You're not going to say anything to me. You're not going to talk to me because of something that I really can't control. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the other issue. You know, if you don't like fat guys, I can potentially get skinnier. If you don't like femme guys, it'll be a little bit harder to get rid of that. But you can potentially butch yourself up if necessary. If you want a hairy guy, you know, there's testosterone you can take. You know, there are things you can do. But one of the things you ultimately can't really change is, you know, your race, your ethnicity. Well,
unless you're Michael Jackson.
So, well,
that's a
not go there. Yeah, but so that's part of the thing where if you're mentioning things to that nature of why you don't like someone, it kind of becomes a stinging factor because it's one thing I can't particularly change, you know. And I think that's sort of the bigger picture thing. And on top of it, on the other side of that, as we've sort of seen, you know, there was, you know, Tony Banks and the Bears Rock Colors event, and this, it was an interesting dynamic. And part of the things that I was seeing him bringing up and putting out there, you know, it's true in a lot of ways that the way media presents bears and everything is this very, I'll use cookie cutter kind of look, you know. Mm. You get a, you know, a certain type, and that's what we manufacture, and that's what we see. If I were to think of a bear, if the first thing that pops a gay bear, the first thing that pops in my head is a white guy with hair and a flannel shirt and maybe a little muscle, you know, jeans, you know, sometimes leather, you know, those things are the things that just quintessentially pop in my head because those are the things I visualize or see when I think of bears. Mm-hmm. If I were in a different area, it could potentially be a different thing, as I think Beacon has mentioned before, where he's in California and there are, you know, it's a very different, diverse area, and you kind of see different types and different kinds of bears there. Whereas where I'm from, you know, Midwest kind of thing, you kind of see a lot of the same things.
Great White North.
Yeah. So
remember, I'm from Minnesota.
Exactly. So, so to put a sort of cap on this, you know, I don't think the title of this article is misleading in a sense, only because I don't think it's more prevalent than ever. I just think that people are now paying more attention to it. And there are bears and cubs of color that are making themselves known and speaking out, and on top of that are also realizing that sometimes they may or may not feel welcome in events. That goes to, you know, who does that fall to? You know, our country at large has a race problem, and all, still has and probably still will, you know, long after, you know, you and I have gone. You know, it's just one of those things where as much as we try to think it's getting better, it is in some ways, but it's still not. And that's just the way it is. And as we try to, part of that getting that better or making that better is having conversations like this, being open and honest about that, and essentially respecting everyone's differences for the sake of building the community up. Yeah. All right.
Woo. Yeah. I just, to me, it's, and I have to admit, I have a very limited, because unfortunately, I don't get out much, so I really can't say too much. But from one things I just want to consider is what is actually racist and what is just more preference. And, yeah. One thing I would really like to see more of, is you know, more of that media, bear media, which features, you know, other colors of bears.
Yeah.
And try to make sure, like, if you look at that generic picture of, like, the four bears we have anthropomorphized bears that we used to use for CLL movies. We've got bears of all different colors. We've got one big black bear right there in the middle with a bowl of popcorn in his lap, and one of the other bears is reaching his hand into the bowl of popcorn. I will say this. We were definitely all-inclusive. Why is there more whites here than blacks? Because on this podcast, because when I asked for people to come be on the show, Damon was the only black guy.
Yay. Thanks so much. No,
it just happened. It just happened that way.
I think in a lot of ways, I'll just leave it at this. It's two-sided ultimately as well, in that, yes, you know, it would be great if there was more representation out there, whatnot. But at the same vein, as I mentioned, bears of color can make themselves known and put themselves out there. I don't want a separate event, mind you. I like the idea, the concept behind Bears of All Colors, but I don't feel I need to go to a separate event to feel accepted. I should be able to go to any event I want to feel accepted and enjoyed. So,
and also, everybody should just go to events.
Yeah.
I mean, just because it's saying, we'll just say this, if normally we'd feel, excluded because of color, at an event, go to the event. You may find that your feeling, your perception may not necessarily be that, yeah, you go there, there is a lot of white bears. Why? Because the white bears just signed up to go to the event. It's not, and most likely that the event isn't going to be trying to exclude anybody or anything. It's just, you need to go. You need to get out there. You need to represent yourself. Those Mr. North American Bear, Mr. Harder Texas Bear, although I'm not sure if they're doing that anymore, Mr. TBRU, you know, get out there. I would love to see more of you.
So, shall we move on?
Did we cover pretty much both articles, or did we kind of just gloss over kind of the topic of the second one?
Okay. It would help if I wasn't on mute. Wow. Okay. Oh. That is saying you would not stop. Anyway. I was like, okay, I get it. Like, I'll let you talk, but anyways.
Oh, we love you, Gary.
For the one time that I do a lot of talking.
All right. So, here's what I was trying to say for about the third or fourth time now that I'm not on mute. Jeez. I should know better. I was like, but wow. All right. I'll let you. Anyways. So my viewpoint is there is such a thing as being prejudicial, you know, like having an opinion about something without really knowing something. But if a person truly knows what they like and what they don't like, then that, I think, goes to what Jeff is talking about preference. That being said, I want to play devil's advocate a little bit. I think that we are all responsible for our own responses, our own reactions or actions. And I think sometimes people get butthurt. Like, they really get defensive about something that isn't truly about them. Like, they make it about them, but it's not really about them. So to give an example, like, if Damon and I were chatting on an app and he says, you know, he kind of flirts and he says he's interested and I say I'm not, and he takes that personally, well, that's on him. That's not on me, because I didn't do anything in this example to elicit or to get that response from him. Now, let's play scenario two. Same interaction, but I say to him after he, you know, kind of like flirts with me or whatever, and I say, no offense, I'm not into dark-skinned meat. Well, he has every right at that moment to be upset with me, because I decided to use very specific words, which were not really necessary.
Yes. And one of the things I actually saw it recently, and it's kind of funny, it kind of plays into this. There was a Key and Peele sketch that they did where they were in an office. Key was playing this very flamboyant gay person, and then you had his coworker who was I think Key and Michael or Pete, anyway, one of the other guys. And the very flamboyant person was playing very, suggestively, erotic music, and the guy asked him to, turn it down, and he immediately went, "You don't want to hear it because I'm gay," kind of thing. And then he kept going, and it was like, "No, that's not it." And then he, proceeds to talk about, the sex he had last night with his boyfriend, or not his boyfriend, but some guy. And, the guy is like, I really don't want to talk about this right now because this is not the place. And the really flamboyant guy that Key was playing was very much like, "Oh, well, you're only offended because I'm gay. You're not offended because of whatever else." And it ends with, you find out that the coworker is going to lunch, and he's ended up going to lunch with his boyfriend, and he introduces his boyfriend to the guy, and they walk away. And the flamboyant guy says, "Oh, it's not just because I'm gay. It's because I'm an asshole," and that was sort of the point, like it's not, he was just being offensive. It wasn't because I'm not offended because you're gay. I'm offended because I don't want to hear that at work. I don't want to, see that picture. I don't want to talk about your sex life at the workplace right now. And you keep putting it on me. That's sort of the thing I was going with. It's just that it there's a point when, like you were saying, Gary, where, it could be like, if you said, if you were not to say nice about it, but, if someone was respectful, I appreciate your interest, but I'm not interested. I've said that more often than not than I care to admit online. It's not any particular reason, but a lot of things, like you said, it's attractive, it's preference. Some of those things, I'm not particularly interested in this person. So, I usually will say that, and I've most of the time gotten the, "Okay, I appreciate your honesty," and stuff like that. Every once in a while, I get the, like, "Well, fuck you." I've gotten the, them lashing out back at me for basically turning them down for no other reason than to turn them down. And they just take it to this extreme. They, call me names and call me, bullshit. And for the sake of, I guess, for their own egos, to make them feel better. But, I don't think I was the asshole in this situation, in that I'm very politely declining your invitation and your interest. I'm okay that you're interested, but I am not.
Right. And so I think it gets to be difficult when we can draw the line between, a personal thing because, quote unquote, you're an asshole versus you're just offended. I think it's the butthurt that's kind of the bigger issue for me. And that relates to the third article, which I think we potentially could have a complete show about, because the author is someone that I know. David from the Underbears podcast wrote an article on Play Bear magazine, which is an online magazine, and it's titled "What is the Bear Community? The Truth Hurts a Bit." And it's a real recent article, and a lot of people have a lot of opinions about this concept. And basically he tries in the article, this is my interpretation, to call out bullshit as pure bullshit when we as a community state, for the most part, we are welcoming to all people and everyone can be a part of it. And it's very this, like, utopian hand-holding, let's sing kumbaya concept. Yet real life experiences prove that is not the case, that we do have individuals within it that are racist. We do have individuals within it that are sizist. We do have individuals that are ageist. And people really kind of lost their mind that he was trying to point out, in his opinion, I think David was trying to say, I have been a part of this community for years. I have been on the board of an organization of a nonprofit. I have gone to a ton of events, and shame on us, us being the key word, us as a community, for not dealing with our own issues. Like, we have issues and we seem to be ignoring them. And I think that's really what he was trying to get at. And I mean, the article's interesting, but the comments, I don't normally read the comments, but my goodness gracious, people were just like, you know, calling him names and saying all sorts of crap. And I was like, whoa, I was like, you people don't even know him. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And yeah, I like some of the things I actually read this, and I actually personally commented on one person because someone said something to me about it. And I was kind of like, yeah, you know, I'll read my comment first, but I like the one thing I will say about this, and I really liked about it, is because he says, and I'm going to quote it, the real reason, the only reason the bear community exists is because some people find bigger guys, usually hairier and more masculine, hot, and they want to have sex with them. I mean, you know, that was sort of that hit me a little bit harder than I thought it would, but it's kind of true. You know, even now, but like especially back in the day, that was sort of what we did. We got together and it was about getting together and fucking, seriously. You know, that was sort of the thing. And yeah, there's this whole concept of, you know, we remember back in the days where, you know, it was, you know, meant to be, we're not the, you know, stereotypical gay men, so let's all get together and sort of the thing. I don't feel that that's been lost, but point blank, it's also about, this is what I find attractive. This is what I find sexual. That's what I like. I don't like that, you know, maybe I don't like that, you know, tweaky, you know, flamey, whatever thing over there. I like being with a man, and I want to be with a man, and that's sort of the thing that it goes with. And that's where I think people are starting to take offense, where he's sort of pointing this very, very, you know, obvious mirror in front of our faces, and it can hurt in a lot of ways. I think other people are adding other things to it, and that's part of the issue too, is that that's what part of making these comments very interesting. I know one person specifically mentioned, you know, like, I'm a black brown bear and I have been so accepted. And I kind of went on ahead and said, well, that's great for you, but that doesn't always happen, you know?
Right. I think that there's a key takeaway, which is each individual's experience is not the universal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was interesting was David, by a lot of individuals, got called out on his article seemed to disregard the history of the community. Like, there was a surprising number of people who were like, I've been here since it started in the 80s, and you are completely out of line with your opinion. And I thought that was interesting, that people were trying to say, your opinion is inaccurate because you're disregarding XYZ. And then I thought it was interesting that David was like, that's fine. You can educate me on this, but I think you're missing the point of my article, which is dot, dot, dot. So I think this episode is a springboard for further discussions if we're interested in having maybe Tony come on and talk about his experience of why he started that event, having David on as the author of this, and, you know, talking about what I think are things going on in the community that no one else seems to be addressing, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, and that's sort of the, you know, a lot of things I feel are that, you know, we've mentioned things like our community, some of our communities are dying off. And also in a part of that is that we're also dealing with bear runs and bear events and bear groups dying off because there's not as much of a need for it anymore. So maybe we're going back to this whole, like, everyone's okay, so everyone should be inclusive, but that's not really the case anymore because it's sort of still there.
And you also have to consider that really this is some things which have been, you know, playing on the nerves of some people who spoil it for those people who are, you know, inclusive, that aren't giving off these, you know, negative vibes from how they present themselves in a profile or how they act at a bear event or something. You know, just scrolling through some of these comments, it does point out, the people do point out that no, this isn't true with the entire bear community per se.
Yeah.
That this is the only thing is it's happening, and people need, there are some people who are probably doing it and not even realizing it. Like those people who are saying no, you know, being negative on their profiles about what they're looking for, you know, this, that, or the other. They may be doing that because it's like, look, I'm getting so many of these people trying to have sex with me. I just want to focus on those people who I do want to have sex with. So I'm going to just exclude these people, say, please don't contact me. I don't even want to hear from you because I want to focus on this because I'm looking for sex and I want to be with someone I'm attracted to. So, and maybe it's just something that if people realize, oh yeah, this is what I'm doing and that's not really what I meant to do. Maybe I am being a little racist or I'm being too exclusionary here, and kind of, you know, bringing it to light that, hey, this is something you need to think about and maybe we can improve how everything is going and happening. So, but I think we should probably move on.
Yeah, I think this isn't one going the way and that we'll just bring it back around. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we'll be able to do those interviews and stuff.
Absolutely. So let's go right into this. Okay, so you think I only like those people who are big, fat, hairy, and Santa Claus looking? No. Because I got a picture of a guy who's soaking up the sun, and I will tell you this. He's got like a six pack and a lot of fur, and he's got a gorgeous beard and his bald head. I will have to say, I really like bald heads. I don't know why. I just do. The short hair. Yeah. Just a real turn on. But he's soaking up the sun.
Okay, so for a point of clarification, you're saying that we know what your preferences are, but this is an example of how that might not fit all the check boxes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wasn't intending this to end up being something that kind of related to the topic we were talking about today, but in the end it kind of does.
Yeah.
But I have to say that I definitely want to kick this guy out of bed.
I don't think any of us really want to kick this guy out of bed, would never kick this guy out of bed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's like every once in a while I get something else. I'm like, oh, that's really nice. Like there's a tattoo on his left forearm. Mm-hmm. Looks like a heart or something. I don't know why, but I'm kind of liking that we can see the, although he has a belt on, the underwear and the belt and kind of thing. I feel like we caught this moment where, you know, he had just taken off his shirt and was kind of feeling the sun, you know, maybe he's heading into the pool and, sort of thing. But, you know, yeah.
That's, probably going skinny dipping because those don't look like trunks. But.
That's okay. He can take those off too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My feeling is he's wearing too many clothes, but I feel that way about a lot of the people that we post on Tumblr. So, anyways.
Yeah. All right. So mine is, I titled stretch marks ? Because of, well, what he says. I've been following this guy. I believe he's out of New York, Broody Cub, and he is just a sexy, sexy man. And he posts in this, he said, a comment was made about my stretch marks, not in a bad way, but it made me remember a different me that would have been devastated and ashamed about them. All that shit ended after I hit 30, haha.
my birthday just passed, and I'm definitely a geeky daddy bear now. And I can say that, at least for me, love them or hate them, some scars are just part of your life story, and all you can do is move forward till I can't. All I can do is move forward till I can't. Keep doing you. And I just also thank the Almighty for I had an awesome workout today. So it's just one of these things where I was like, I feel him totally on the whole, you know, stretch marks, you know, slash scars kind of feeling. And it was very much, I really didn't see him at first until after I was like, oh, okay. Like, oh, I get it. You know, like, oh, okay. Because he's just a gorgeous man. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, very nice.
Stretch marks, but not stretch marks.
Stretch marks are invisible to me. I don't even notice it because they've got got the whole belly there. So,
mm-hmm. he's very handsome and looks really good. Swole.
He's got one hell of a hat hair in those second pictures.
True.
maybe we should go into the shower and help. Flatten that down. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Gary.
All right. So my Tumblr pick is Tumblr and Linkish, sort of. I'll explain. So there's two links. The first one is I think I have posted before about the artwork that this artist does.
Yes.
He has a Tumblr account and he's on Facebook and stuff. He's Italian. And he's created a comic series called Louis and Lorso. And Salvatore Calamare is a great looking guy, but he finally, earlier this year, came out with a book of his comics, which is about a bear, for reference, a chaser, basically. and their relationship and the comedy of their relationship, because the bear knows that he's gay, has been out for quite some time, it seems, in the way they interact. And then the chaser is new to the whole thing. And so the chaser is often on the humiliation side of everything that keeps happening between them. The second link is the actual link to the page that you can buy the book. The comic book is available only in Italian. Currently it's 0.90 euros, roughly $11.11 in US without shipping. I don't know if you can ship it internationally or not, because I just found out about it before the show, but I thought it was very cool and I'm highly supportive. I'm kind of going to hold out and wait personally until he has an English version available, but I'm a big fan. I love what he's doing with that. And if you're like using Chrome from Google, you can actually go to the page and then get to translate it from Italian into English as a reference. But yeah, it's I'm super stoked and excited that he came out with a book. It says it's 64 pages in color and paperback. But I'm just excited about that he's done enough work and that there's enough interest that, you know, he's got a book and people want to see it and stuff. So
yay.
I love how the plot translates. Here comes the web comment in print edition's favorite time.
Yeah. Nobody said Google Translate was great. But anyways, if you're a fan of Louis and Orso or haven't seen it before, by all means, check him out on his Tumblr account. He actually has a Facebook page, which I didn't know until today, and then I ended up liking, and now I'm going to follow and be more aware of what he's doing. But I just love that there are people who are taking their skills slash hobbies and turning them into a thing, you know? So he, you know, apparently wanted to see some representation of this type of a couple. And so he put it out there. And I'm very happy about that. And that he's now onto a book. And who knows, maybe someday we'll be able to do an international call with translation or something. I don't know.
Oh, wow. That might be interesting.
Well, you know.
Well, it'll be on Skype, so.
Yeah.
Dream big. I'm not paying for that international call.
Just so. We'll figure it out.
But we'll at least be able to do it. Anyway, moving on into the links. We were talking about Prince earlier, and Gary was spoiling that my pick is the Prince performs Purple Rain during Downpour.
All right, now listen, I didn't read that far down on the dock, so I didn't know that it was your pick. Two, you can't call it spoiler if I didn't know about it. Oh, just for the record.
That's in the doc.
But in any case, here's a link. It's really more of a documentary of it.
Yeah.
Than it is. It's really more. I believe this was posted right afterwards, was it? No, it was posted back in February. Because it was Super Bowl XLI. So it must have been. Yeah. Was that the last one?
No. I think that was the one that he performed at.
Right, but it's the Super Bowl XLI was. That's like 41.
Yeah.
So whatever that was. In any case, in February, they posted this, which is kind of timely because a couple months later, sadly.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts about this is when they called up Prince saying, "Hey, it's raining." And Prince is like, "Can you make it rain harder?" So and the thing is, and it's great because when you're seeing Prince do his performance, it's like he's completely ignoring that it's raining. It's like it to him as he's performing, it's like as if it wasn't even raining.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of amazing. Everybody's just like pumped and everything. So and that's just Prince for you. Is he just kind of energizes the crowd.
So. Yeah, it's good to watch. Yeah, it was 2006, so it's been 2006 season, 2007 Super Bowl, so 9 years since he performed in the pouring rain. It's fun to watch actually, and when you hear the commentary, it is a bit astounding and scary because you've got women in heels, like, you know.
I'm like, how can they dance on that and they're not even slipping or falling over?
Yeah.
Take talent and lots of practice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Damn. So on that note, also, you know, in tribute to Prince, I remember this posted on Facebook, and it is Jennifer Hudson and the Broadway cast of The Color Purple doing a tribute to Prince, and I'm not going to dwell on it too much, but they're singing Purple Rain, and it's really, really awesome. And the way that they're, you know, performing it, and they're performing it with the audience, as Jennifer said, she would have wanted, you know, just to do music and sing and enjoy. So, that's what I wanted to share because it's Jennifer Hudson who has this amazing, amazing voice. And then as I'm looking at it, I'm thinking it's the woman who is playing Celie in the show that starts it, and her voice, oh my god.
I know.
so yeah, but
and the thing is, there's no mics there.
Yeah.
just to clarify this, there's no mics in that auditorium. She's got a set of lungs on her. I will tell you that.
Well, they may be mic'd. They do have
mics. I don't think there's mics.
Yeah.
I think that's an authentic play without mics.
Maybe. It's hard to tell, but yeah, I saw it on the night that they did it. Like, it got posted to YouTube and immediately went to Facebook viral, and it was pretty amazing to watch. And I totally agree that the two of them have astounding voices to listen to. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's like, if you look at it and then you go to, there's another version on, I think from a different angle on the Up Next or on the side, you know, sort of thing. So you can, this was the angle I remember seeing it and listening to it. And then there's, you know, clearly, you know, more people recording it. So yeah, but yeah, that was my, you know, little tribute. I really, I loved hearing that. So. Gary.
So both of us do Prince. And then Gary.
I didn't realize there was a theme coming and that I should have picked a link to something about Prince. Nah, no disrespect to the dearly departed, but
you would think this would be one of the things that I would put on.
Well, I just found out about it right before we went to record the show, and I'm going to own that I'm a bad nerd. And I lost some Star Wars street cred because I missed the Rogue One official trailer release.
Yeah, I did too.
No one, none of my circles, yes, or at least Facebook, didn't tell me that all my Star Wars nerd friends were freaking out about this.
I guess yeah. I need to share more stuff.
I don't know. It was so weird. I'm like, how did I completely miss this? But anyways, Rogue One, the new Star Wars movie, is coming out in December this year. It takes place in the timeline of the universe before episode 4. So before the movie that was released in 77. Mm-hmm. And I'm super, 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 super excited about this. Mm-hmm. It's kind of meant to be a bridge between the second set of three movies and the first set of three movies. I got goosebumps thinking about it. Like, I didn't know that the movie came out. Anyways, my link is ILM, the production company, created what they're calling a chain reaction, which is ILM posted a reaction video to watching all the reaction videos to the Rogue One trailer.
Nice.
So it's a bit meta, but to explain it real quickly, people sit and wait for the teaser trailer, for the actual trailer to be released online, and then they videotape themselves watching the trailer and reacting. What ILM did was they turned around and edited together a whole bunch of the reaction trailer or reaction videos on YouTube and made another video of them watching the reaction videos. So it's the production staff who has worked on the special effects and the visual effects and stuff. And the one guy worked on it that's kind of in charge of all of the visual stuff. And then he called together a team of, a dozen or more people into a room. And they're now watching the reaction videos to the trailer being released. And it's great because it's not as emotional as I kind of thought it would be, but they feel very affirmed in the work that they did, because there's some discussion about practical effects versus, CGI and the characters that are revealed. And so anyways, it's pretty awesome that I thought that they decided to do their own reaction video to the other reaction videos. I was like, all right, that's all an right. interesting way to.
I almost want to do a reaction video to the reaction video to the reaction video.
Wow. Wow.
So, like, I'm already a few seconds into that, so I should do that. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, so it's about 8 minutes long, but it is very cool, I thought, on their part that they decided to recognize that there's a culture, that there's a community out there, and all these people, responded to the work that they've done. So, yeah. So, first of all, there's a trailer. If you haven't seen it yet, you should go see it. And then, second of all, there's a whole series of reaction trailers, like, videos to the trailer. So
have you actually seen the trailer yet?
Yes. So I watched it in the link that I'm giving, and then as soon as that was done, I heard turning around and went straight to YouTube and watched the Star Wars Channel official trailer. Okay.
So I can see it. So what do you think about Mon Mothma?
Isn't that
perfect casting?
I basically, if I had panties on, they would be totally soaked. I was so stoked that Mon Mothma is a prime character. That's a big question mark because obviously we haven't seen the movie, but she was a bit of a mystery because she's barely in episode 4, and she just has that little bit, and everybody knows the line that she gives about, many Bothans died to bring, this information kind of thing. And it's like, and everybody's like, but who is she? What's the whole thing? And so you get some background behind that finally.
She, that actress actually apparently was in episode 3 too.
Ah.
I mean, I think it was like a brief thing. She didn't have any lines or anything. But she was like in a scene I haven't gone back to look at it, but apparently she's in one of those scenes, that scene where Bail Organa is just on a balcony with a whole bunch of people, and she's one of the people in that scene. It's like near the very end of episode 3 or something. So it's time to go or something like that. So, well, I'll have to rewatch that and try to get that specific point. But yeah, my brother and I are completely thrilled. So, hey, guess what, folks? That's the end. Oh. Plenty of ways to contact us. You can pop over to our website, cubsoutloud.com. Shoot us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail at 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/cubsoutloud. cubsoutloud.tumblr.com for Tumblr. Twitter.com/cubsoutloud. Google, in the Googleverse, we're google.com/+cubsoutloud. Join us in the Bear Underground in the Cubs Out Loud entourage. It's actually written out, Cubs Out Loud entourage, on the group. And say hello. You can actually pop over to iTunes, rate us there, subscribe to us through there. You can also now subscribe to us through Google Play Music now that they've launched their podcast thing. So pop over there. If you want a direct link to it, just go to cubsoutloud.com. Over on the right side there where it says subscribe, you can click on that, the headphones icon. That's the Google Play. Okay, so all you Android folks who didn't have iTunes or anything, you have no excuse now. Google Play Music. Also, you can listen to us over in Stitcher Radio. Give us a thumbs up over there. You can find me anywhere on the internet. It says Box, That Box, Poppy, Box, Cub, Box, something or other.
I am TheaterCub79 on Bear Underground, Tumblr, Heftinet, and then you can find me also as NomadCub79 or Pup_Umbra. That's right.
I could pretty much be found anywhere on the interweb as GareBear73. That's GareBear73.
And with that, take it out, everybody!
Good night, everybody!
Have a good one, y'all.
Well,
that was an episode.
Indeed.